It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 39, More Doctors. In this episode, we'll talk about arrests, our favorite puppet slam pieces, and the secret to unclogging a toilet. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Puppet Parent Podcast.
I'm Z.
I'm Chad.
And we are puppeteers.
And parents.
And we have a podcast.
Yeah.
We record every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after I finish tucking in the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I come down here and we record an episode every week. And we've been doing this weekly for the most part and since the week of March 17th. So,
yeah. So everyone's talking about what are you going to do when we hit 1 year of COVID lockdown. It's also like going to be the first anniversary of our podcast, which is more of a positive thing, right?
We always said we wanted to do a podcast. It just took a pandemic to make that happen.
You know, so let's talk about that. So we had ideas. We almost did a podcast together. I was coming off six years of doing a podcast with my brother, like a video game, movie, comics podcast. And I was still kind of done with podcasting. I still love podcasting, but I was like, I'm done being an engineer. like doing the whole XML file, like there's all this coding I had to do at the time. Now mm-hmm. It's more streamlined, more automated. And it just didn't work out. But we were going to do like puppet news.
We talked about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now we're just talking about us, which is newsy.
Easier.
Yeah, and easier. Mm-hmm. But if you're watching, feel free to say hi in the chat if you're watching live. If you're listening to this after the fact, if you ever want to say hi in the chat, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is like a puppet news podcast like a good idea? Like would people, if you're out there listening to this, whoever you are, if you think it's a good idea, hit us up, send us an email or a message or something.
This week in puppetry?
Yeah.
This week in puppetry.
Yeah, because
I feel like it needs like a graphic and like.
I feel like, you know.
Maybe I'm watching too much Democracy Now, but it's definitely like.
Who's the host of Democracy Now? That old lady.
Don't call her.
She's an
old
lady.
She's awesome. And
what's her name?
Her name is Amy Goodman, isn't it? Oh my God. You know what? You asked me too quick and now I'm not totally sure of myself.
Well, think about it. And then eventually we'll get back to it. But, you know,
I think it's Amy Goodman.
I mean, she's not as old as there's this host on WNYC, New York City, who's like really old, but she's kind of a legend. So when she interviews people, because she's so old, she really takes her time. She's like, so what do you think about, and more power to you. You've been a radio host for decades and decades. You're still going. You're a legend. Awesome. Keep doing it. Everyone's super respectful.
Yeah. Amy Goodman.
That is not Amy Goodman who I'm talking about. It's a different person.
No, but I was right. It is Amy Goodman. But you asked me so fast that then suddenly I was like, I don't believe my own self.
Yeah.
But it's Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez and then Nermeen. I don't remember Nermeen's last name. Nermeen. But those are the main anchors. But Amy Goodman, it's really her show.
So, puppet news. I mean, there is news happening. Not so much news happening. There's still news, puppet news happening in the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something to talk about.
That's true.
And there's puppet news magazines. And there's puppetry blogs. But is there a puppetry news podcast?
What puppetry blog is there? Because Unima
Puppet
USA
Vision
does one, but it's like it's hard getting content for it.
There was Puppet Vision that was run out of Canada for quite a long time. And I think he took a break for a while, but I think he's still posting occasionally on it. And it was a very, very good blog.
It was it back when blogging was a thing?
Well, when it was more popular, yes.
No. Puppetvision.blog, this account has been suspended. Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Well.
Ooh, he's taking a long break. Let's try it. Nope. Ooh, oh. No, it is not. But it's a dot blog.
Well, maybe it's on a Facebook page now or something. I'm not sure. Andrew Young. It was his blog.
Young,
it was very
Young.
Good. It was a very good blog.
I'm gonna as we talk today, I'm gonna look up more about this because I'm so interested. Because puppet blogs are hard to come by, you know. But that's what kind of drives or drove search engines to talk about certain things. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get listed on IMDb, your movie or your film or your show or whatever has to be mentioned on a website that is not your website. Oh. So bloggers were great for getting onto official like critic or film websites. Mm-hmm. You know, like getting listed somewhere, even if it's just like they're just taking your copy right out of your right off your page and just plopping it onto theirs, whatever.
So Chad,
yes,
how was your week? Do we have any breaking news? What's going on?
Well, let's see. Well, last week we talked about the insurrection.
Yeah.
Right in our nation's capital.
Yeah.
This week in America, in the United States, we are slowly, or law enforcement is slowly gathering all those people one at a time through various means and arresting them, which is great. It's positive news. And we are...
hunkering down here in Western New York.
We're in the middle of nowhere, which is a great place to be when all 50 states in our country are preparing for armed assaults on in less than a week.
Yeah.
Just when you think, and we're almost at 400,000 Americans dead from the pandemic, from the virus alone.
Yep.
So we're living through a time, right?
I mean, true story, I had a really hard night this week all of a sudden when I suddenly thought about everything all at once. Don't do that. Don't think about it all at once because mm-hmm. it's a lot and it just can be overwhelming. And, you know, I also realized that my greatest fear is living through a war. That is absolutely my greatest fear, and I suddenly felt like that was possible, and I started to feel very unsafe, even though I'm, like, living in the middle of nowhere practically right now, and should feel very safe. So, anyway, I feel better today than I did a few days ago, but I think that's just because I've, like, life has continued to move on, and... nothing has happened, and I was able to go to the grocery store and get, like, extra flour, and that made me feel better. So,
I giggle a little bit because the last time this happened, when you were feeling like I need to doomsday prep a little bit, you went to the store, and there were all these other people just like you feeling the same way, and you couldn't get certain things like toilet paper or yeast.
No, at that point, you could. You could at that point.
Okay.
I can tell you exactly what day it was. I mean, I'm still...
What day was it?
That was March 12th. Hmm. That was Thursday, March 12th, 2020. I know, that day, everything that happened that day is burned into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, no, it was more just like I wanted to be able to have things so that if we didn't want to leave the house, maybe because of snow. or maybe because I was just having a little freak out, that we would be okay for a couple weeks at least. So that, you know, just extra flour and, like some extra canned goods and stuff and like a couple bottles of beer. I mean, really, it just makes me feel better. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm hopeful that the next week when we record this podcast, that I am going to feel a little bit more calm about everything. I'm already feeling more calm than I was a few days ago. Because a few days ago, I was really worried about this weekend. Now I'm really worried about tomorrow. I just want to get through Martin Luther King Jr. Day without like some kind of horrible incident. And I want to be able to celebrate this amazing man who gave his life to... making huge change in our country. That's all I want to be able to think about and not be worried about like people doing something that could harm other people. So, you know, Mm-hmm. So I just want to get through tomorrow, and then I want to get through the inauguration, and then I want to get through January and February.
This
and
is good. Little
I want to eventually get home. That's what I eventually want, is to be able to get back to New York City. So
Yeah.
And there's, you know what? There's nobody keeping us here in Western New York. We could go back to New York City whenever we wanted, but it just feels like the right choice to just maintain out here until it feels like, okay, now we can go back. Yeah. And I don't know when that's going to be. But I will tell you that, like, on top of my fears of civil war and general unrest and, you know, not feeling safe, that within my friend circles this past week, I've had a very, very, very close friend of mine who tested positive for COVID, along with people who are very close to me test positive for COVID, along with people that who are family members of friends of mine who have tested positive. Like, and they all live in different parts of the country. So it's like, I that was the other reason I went to the store. Because I was like, I'm going to go to the store once, and now we're not going to the store for a while. Because I'm not interested in being any more risky than we need to be. And tomorrow I'm going to plow the driveway. Woohoo! I learned how to use the tractor with a plow on the back of it. So I'm going to drive the John Deere diesel tractor and plow the driveway tomorrow.
Woo!
That's my Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yay.
Yeah, that's me. And we're going to watch this I Have a Dream speech with the kids. And we're going to read a book about Martin Luther King Jr.
Good.
So,
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we know people who have recently tested positive for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
We also know people who have gotten vaccinated.
That's true, too. So, I think I'm still in fear mode. But yes, I actually know a large number of people at this point who have started the vaccination process.
Mm-hmm.
And also people who have scheduled appointments to get vaccinated.
Awesome.
So yeah, healthcare people or teachers, but all these people qualify under like who's allowed right now.
Yeah.
So,
but we are in the back of the, we're in the back of the line because we are not essential workers, you know, and we have kids. So
yeah. And while we both teach.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us have been doing any in-person teaching recently.
Yeah. So. And I mean, I went to the website, to New York State's website to be like, well, maybe I could qualify. I'm technically teaching once a week, you know, like maybe I could just get in there. No, actually, no, it's like, are you part of the teachers union? You know, like, do you teach in person? No. So I can't squeak in, but that's right. I don't mind waiting. I mean, streaming shows is, puppet shows is still a thing. It's still going to be a thing. It's not ending. And I predict, and I think we talked about this, that even though the summer will come and people will want to go outdoors again, that we will still be streaming through the summer, because that's just how it's going to be. It seems like we won't get vaccinated until at least the summer, so we're just going to keep going with this plan. And, you know, come what may, we'll figure it out, you know. So puppet stuff this week. I've actually been updating my resume, which I didn't think that I would, you know, have to do that, you know, outside of, like, a playbill. Or you like write a little paragraph about how great you are. I've actually been activated as a Fulbright specialist. So over the summer, I applied to be a Fulbright specialist, which is, it's this government-run program since, I think, 2002, 2003, to send Americans out into the world and through local U.S. embassies in a bunch of different countries. You can apply to have different experts in various fields from the United States come out to your country and do lectures or teach or be involved in a project. And I was like, I'm in. I want to do it. And we know a couple of very close friends that have done it as puppeteers. So I was like, oh yeah, me too. So I've been getting ready, been teaching a bunch of workshops, figuring out how to teach our specific hand puppetry technique to people. And this week, the Fulbright people actually sent me an email saying, you've been activated. You only get a short amount of time to figure it out. So you got 4 years. Go. So from this week. And
usually
week,
it's only 3 years, yes. But they gave you an extra year because of the pandemic.
Yeah, which I still think it's kind of bogus saying like, all right, you're good now. But it's like, why can't they wait until like 2022? So anyway, so I'm trying to set up something so I can leave the country and teach or perform somewhere in 2022. Hey out there, if you're living in a foreign country or know somebody who is looking for a puppeteer to come out and do something with them, it could be a school, museum, theater, doesn't really matter. As long as you're a host institution, talk to your local embassy. You can have a puppeteer out to your country. I'm totally game wherever, you know, the rules are that. Usually you have to wait 2 years in between projects. So because I have 4 years, technically I could go out for like 2 to 6 weeks somewhere once, mm-hmm. wait 2 years and then come out to the same place again or a different place. I mean, wherever our government, which I always kind of bemoan the fact that our government doesn't really support art or view art as like a cultural export. This is the one time that it actually does. So I'm very happy to be a part of this program, and I'm looking forward to posting new updates about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. Chad will be traveling.
I can't wait to travel again, honestly. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. great. You know, I feel like I've just been doing more of the same of, you know, I have my day job where I work for a foundation that awards grants to puppeteers. So doing that. And then also doing a lot of prep work for these professional development workshops called Making Connections Through Puppetry that we received the Kennedy Center VSA program sites contract for. So we've been offering workshops for New York City's Department of Education District 75. And all of those workshops have been filled. There's some of my fur scraps Ooh, that I've been using
this
to
beautiful green fur molding.
To make yes. Tufts for hair. Look, here's a little tuft right Ooh. Here that will become a little hair piece yeah,
this,
on a puppet.
This room smelled like hot glue for a time.
Yeah, but you used my desk all day today, so that didn't happen today.
Yeah.
But I've been doing a lot of prep work for that and just going to the post office a couple times a week to mail out packages for everybody. If you're interested in attending one of these public classes, they're offered right now to educators, counselors and therapists who are working with students with autism. And basically it's a course to teach you how to perform puppets so that you could integrate them as a tool into the work you're already doing with this population. And we give you ideas of ways to connect the tool to the learning and stuff like that. So it's really cool. And if you're interested in learning more, we'll include a link in the I don't know where we would include that link. I guess maybe in the comments of this video or in the something.
So just send us an email.
Send us an email.
info@wonderspark.com.
Or you could look at hensonfoundation.org/PDW. That is another place to look for the
P as in Peter, D as in dog, W as in
workshop.
Workshop.
So yeah. So that's what I've been really busy with. And then, of course, just parenting, being a mom. Parents of two boys, ages 5 and 7, although the 7-year-old will be 8 at the end of next month.
Mm-hmm. He was telling his aunt today, who was like, hey, what video game are you really into? And he starts describing to her one that he does not have, one that just came out. That is not for kids. And I was like, I was kind of like, I could, as a parent, I feel like we're always thinking like, well, I could answer that question for you. better than my child could because I know them inside and out. You know what I mean? It was just interesting to
see. So you weren't expecting that answer?
No, I was thinking like, well, he played, let's see, like 3 days of Minecraft, and he just played the Lego City Undercover game, mm-hmm. and he's playing Pikmin with his brother. You know, like all those things he's mm-hmm. really into at the moment. But to hear him talk about like some like an ambition, like something that he wants to get into, was interesting.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
So, you know, it's just been busy with trying to keep them up to date with their school stuff. Our in-laws, Chad's parents that we've been living with since June 1st, have been away for the last week. And so it's been nice, in a sense, to feel like it's just you and me again. Even though, I mean, his parents are great and it's been wonderful, there's also this feeling of like, we could do this on our own, right? We could, right? Like, we were doing this on our own. And then to be, like, in charge of doing it all again on our own, everything, it's good. It's a good feeling. I like the level of doing it. It's just nice to be out here where there's just more space and more breathing room and just this feeling of, like, being able to go outside I don't know. Just easier. It's just easier right now. But I also miss home. And the kids do too. But school's going okay. I think we're all kind of resigned to the idea that we're doing a full semester online. That Finn, our younger one, his whole kindergarten year will be online. And that Leaf's, he's the older one, his whole second grade year will be online. But it just is what it is. And I think that the thing that's giving me, like, making it me feel like, well, that's okay, is it's very stable. This whole time it has been very, very stable. There hasn't ever been a point where we've had to say, well, we can't go to school anymore. Or, I'm sorry, you just can't see your teacher for a while. Or we have to change things suddenly without you knowing. So that's been nice, having that level of stability. And, you know, I really look forward to next year when they're back in school, because they miss the friends. Mm-hmm. You know, even our older one, who's not as socially needy as our younger one, I think is at this point really missing his friends, and missing that camaraderie of school. But they're doing great. Our younger one has learned how to read and is starting to read books.
He's reading all by himself.
One of the Christmas presents for the family, but really it was for Finn, was the entire set of the Elephant and Piggy books by Mo Willems. And he's been reading a couple of those a day to us, and also a little bit to himself, which has been great. And, I mean, it's just been really wonderful to get to start to see him taking, feeling good about reading, because for a long time he's definitely the younger brother and feeling like, Leaf can do everything.
he was definitely feeling like everyone's really good at this and I'm not good at this, and it's hard and I hate it. So and he's been reading things off the screen. You know, and like video games that he likes, which is great. You know, starting to.
Yeah.
Because certain words are mm-hmm. tougher than others, mm-hmm. you know, but it's great to see him like take an interest in that, because in video games, there's so much to read all the time. And he just skips the dialogue usually.
Yeah.
Just skips it. If he has to read it, he's skipping it.
Well, I asked him about that once and he said, it takes too much time and I only get an hour. And I thought, well, yeah, all right. I see your point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that we've been revisiting too is his Spanish, because if he was in school, he would be learning Spanish a couple times a week. And out here, it hasn't been part of his online curriculum with his teacher, but then I took it upon myself to just try to incorporate more Spanish. And I bought a subscription to this internet program called Muzzy, which is from the BBC. And it's weird. But you know what? I like it. It's cool.
Does he like it?
I think so. But you know what's neat is we hadn't watched it in probably about a month or a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of keep trying to point out words in Spanish to him and, like, occasionally using words. And then we do worksheets where he's learning all the colors right now. And I know that, at least for myself today, and my Spanish is not good. We watched that first episode again, and it's all in Spanish. Nothing's translated, but it's very, very, very basic Spanish. I understood pretty much the whole thing. And for me, that's huge, because conversational Spanish was always like, wah, wah, wah. Like, I could read Spanish. I could, like, write Spanish, but I could not speak Spanish in class in high school. It was just the worst. And now I'm like, it's slow enough. I mean, it's like a cartoon, and it's very strange. It's not as good as like Sesame Street or whatever, but it's very, very repetitive and it's very slow. And I actually appreciate it for that, because I'm learning things. I'm definitely learning things. And we watch the same episodes over and over and over again, but then you start to like get it and mm-hmm. like hear it. I'm starting to hear the speech patterns and like how they're saying things. So it's cool. So anyway, we watched it today and Finn totally understood some of it in a way that he hadn't before. And that was cool. And I did too.
Awesome.
So yeah. And we have it first. It comes in lots of languages. And so tomorrow Leaf's going to watch the Mandarin one, because Leaf's been learning Mandarin for the last few years. So, mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's the same cartoon, the exact same cartoon, just dubbed in different languages.
That's how they do it.
I know. But it works. I mean, I'm not sure that I would recommend it to everybody, but for our family, who is not, we're not bilingual family, it's been a nice introduction to the possibility of us really trying to give that as a gift to our kids, because
and it's Muzzy with two Z's.
Yeah, Muzzy. It was a BBC thing that came out in the 80s, and then they kind of they redid the cartoons to, it's like the same cartoon, but like they did it in a computer. Like the aughts, I guess, probably. And like in the 2000s. And now you can buy a subscription for a year. So I did that. I felt like that was my investment in our language program for the year, was that subscription. And then some like very early learner workbooks. There's way more that you can find for Spanish than Mandarin.
Well, yeah.
In terms of like, I'm sure there's a ton of like early Mandarin stuff. But is it in English and Mandarin? There's not as much stuff. There's not as much, but there's a lot of Spanish stuff. So I was able to find a lot of things for Finn, and then a couple things for Leaf. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's like my update with them.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling? How are you today? How are you this week?
Well, today I felt empowered because I unclogged a toilet that we couldn't unclog. So I feel like you can put me in a house in the middle of pretty much nowhere, and I will still be able to unclog a toilet.
So enlighten our audience. What was the magic trick? Because both of us, without each other knowing, just took the plunger and went to town with our best techniques.
Over
and
the course of about 3 days.
The water was just staying at level. Eventually the water would go down,
but then you'd try again.
Yeah, no, it wasn't going anywhere.
And it was, and we checked with the kids, and they said it was one of them, and they said, "Well, I used just a lot of toilet paper, and then it just didn't go down." Mm-hmm. And these are, you know, it were country pipes or whatever. So,
I don't think they're any different than city pipes.
I don't know. I'm worried about a septic system or something like. There are things that you have to worry about out here and with a house that I don't ever have to think about in New York City. So I was like kind of grilling them a little bit. Like, are you sure you didn't put anything else down the pipes because
they have in the past, like our youngest one put, I didn't think it was possible, but he put on two separate occasions, an entire roll of toilet paper into the toilet and flushed it.
Why? That was expensive. That was over the course of like a couple weeks, right? Like it happened 1 week and then the next week it happened again.
The next month or something. It was the same babysitter both times.
Oh, so then we couldn't have that babysitter anymore.
Yep, and I was like, hey, nothing against you, man, but this is just what's happening. And he said, yep, nope, I got it.
Aw, he was nice, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, we both tried a few different things. Didn't work. Chad tried Drano. Didn't work. Yep. Right. We tried the plunger. So then I was like, YouTube will be my savior. This is what YouTube is meant for. I learned how to properly use a plunger and what kind of plunger to use. They had the proper plunger in the house, with like it's like a circle in the middle enveloped by the rubber gasket around it. You want that kind of plunger or like an accordion plunger with the circle in the middle. Both are effective. The other kind, not as good.
Well, the other kind, like the smaller traditional looking one, is a sink plunger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Had no idea. Mm-hmm. Also doesn't work so well on toilets.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Shouldn't.
I watched the video. I learned how to properly use the plunger by trying to get all the air out and putting it in at an angle before you line it up with the hole in the toilet. But then... it still didn't work. So then he's like, all right, if you don't have an auger, which I don't, there's one more DIY method that people say works. And I tried it and it actually worked pretty well. You take dish soap, you get the water level fairly low in the tub, however you can do that, in the basin, I guess you would call it. However you can get the water level low, get it low. Then... put a generous amount of dish soap into the toilet, then fill the toilet to a decent level with warm/hot water. Don't boil it. It should not be boiling water because a toilet is not meant to have hot water in it. So I used very, very hot tap water, poured it in, you let it sit for 15 minutes, and then you plunge that.
Oh.
And... briskly, like you mean it, and then all of a sudden it was like, pow, pow, done.
Magic.
And I was like, yay! I did it. So I felt very empowered. So that was like probably the highlight of my day is unclogging a toilet.
Good job. Is there you're an adult when?
I don't know. Well,
highlight of your day is unclogging a toilet.
But... I scanned in all the kids. Schoolwork for the week and submitted it to the teacher. So that was done on time. Mm-hmm. I printed out all of their schoolwork. I found worksheets for Boxcar Children that are from the Boxcar Children website. And Leaf said he would be really into doing that. It's a book series that Leaf has been in love with for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to switch out some of the grandma writing homework that she has been doing with him. To do some of these Boxcar Children worksheets instead.
Awesome. Because
I think that he will be happier for that. Hey, thanks, Charlotte. Yay!
Hey.
I fixed things. So I felt very, very satisfied.
It's like that magic, like, pop of, like not like giving birth or
you
anything.
You should have heard
it.
I went, ooh! Like, when it went down, I was so happy. Because the last thing I wanted to do was to have to call a plumber while your parents were out of town. Or to have to even tell them, oh, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
Your toilet's clogged up. I mean, this is, you know, we're adults and we can handle things. But the last thing you want to do is, like, tell your parents, that you messed something up.
Yeah. Hi, parents.
While they were gone.
Yeah. Well, I think it was more like I was going to text my dad and say, hey, can you recommend a plumber? Because I'm sure you've had a plumber in the past.
I'm sure they.
Probably.
Oh, and it's not like he's not going to say why.
No, I would say, like, you know, clogged toilet, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we didn't have to. We fixed it.
Yeah.
I guess the dish soap and the heat, it I don't know, it was magic. So I highly recommend that method if all else fails. Method. But he said it only works. The plumber in the YouTube video, thank you, YouTube plumber, said it only will work with toilet paper and waste. So it won't work with a toy in the toilet, which Finn had put toys down the toilet before. So I'm really glad that they told the truth.
We've had a number of plumbers come over to our apartment, actually, and a lot of it, and our landlord too, who has the tools. A lot of it had to do with toys or things.
I know, and every time they'd come, we would just be like, "We're so sorry. I don't know."
And every time you tell your child, "Stop doing it," to the point where I put a grate on the bottom of the toilet, you know, removable grate.
What? Because I don't remember that.
But you remember it was a grate with a handle.
I remember us like putting a lock on the toilet paper.
Yes.
A grate on the bottom of the toilet.
So it was right on the opening in the basin of the toilet. It's kind of like a ladle with like a waffle.
Oh, I do remember this. I did not like that. So that did not
it was last. It was a means to an end because toys were going in the toilet and people weren't listening, so it just had to stop. So I found something that I could put right into there, right into the bowl.
And we had decided against getting a locking lid for the toilet because that was a possibility. But our kids were waiting too long to go to the toilet, and so it was always an emergency.
Yeah.
And
You don't want to have somebody pee themselves while they're waiting for you to unlock the lid.
Or you don't want them to figure out how to unlock the lid. Mm-hmm. So it just, that felt like that was not going to work for us.
I feel like it was a good DIY solution. Like, here, I will just put a grate at the bottom of this thing. And I was like, you know what? No. Toilets should just have this.
I didn't like it.
You know?
But we did lock down the toilet paper with like one of those locks that you use on like computer towers lab.
A thin steel wire that goes around our radiator pole and then through the toilet paper tube.
We had people come over. At least one person said to me, "That is genius." And I was just like, we're desperate, one or the other. But
it's not happening a third time.
That's sweet. So anyway, so that was like the big thing today. And then, and I watched the Bills game last night, which was exciting. Yes. And there was an amazing play of this guy. I don't remember his name. Sorry, amazing player who intercepted the pass for the other team in their end zone and then ran it all the way to a touchdown. And it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was so good.
It's gotta feel good.
It was 101-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awesome. It was awesome. Like, he had just gone to bed, and I was like watching it all by myself with the volume super, super low. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!" And Chad said he was just falling asleep listening to me going.
Well, I heard
oh
you.
It was very exciting. So go Bills! Yay!
The Bills. Two more games.
I know they're going to be facing the Kansas City Chiefs, which are the Super Bowl champions next weekend. I have not been this excited about football since high school.
Well, the Bills haven't done anything of note since high school. So
Well, middle school for me, think. I mean, right? Because
it was like 95.
Was that the last time that anything interesting happened? I guess that was high school.
Like mid 90s.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was not watching the game out of moral grounds, I feel like, boycotting, because football is a terrible sport and nobody should play it.
Well,
and
the head quarterback from the other team was the Baltimore Ravens that they were playing. He did get a concussion in the game.
Yeah.
But, you know what?
It ruins people's lives, yo.
Bills Mafia got together, and which is what they call the fans for the Bills, and they found out what his favorite charity was, and they've donated now like tons of money to this charity. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of him. So it was very sweet.
That's very nice.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that he got a concussion.
Maybe his entire life will be screwed up. I mean, like, all these people brutalizing themselves in this sport for our entertainment. You know, and what do they get when they retire? Retirement could happen at any time, you know, because you could get injured. or you just cut, you know, or somebody else comes along that's better than you, and it's just over, and that's your entire life and your entire career, and then it's over. And most people who play professional sports go broke within a few years immediately afterwards.
And we talked about all these things few days before the game, because I asked Chad like 2 days before the game, like, are you going to watch the game? And he said all of those very important things. And I said, I completely agree, but I'm still going to watch the game.
That's right. I also said that rooting for, like, the people who root for professional teams, like, all that is part of, like, the tribalism that's kind of ruining our country. You know, which is why I can't get into a specific team anymore.
I just feel like there's something in the universe. Like, I remember when my friend Jenna moved out to Washington State, mm-hmm. and that same year the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl, and it was like a sign. And I am just saying that we are here in Western New York, the year that the Bills are doing really great. And I can't not watch, because it feels like, I don't know what it is. It a sign? I don't know. But it just feels like I have to watch. So I'm committed to this.
You know, for every iota of excitement you felt when the Bills player was running that interception out of an end zone back to score, all of the entirety of the Baltimore Ravens fan base was crushed.
I know. I'm sorry, crushed. Baltimore. I'm sorry. I'm not rubbing it in their face or saying anything mean about anybody, mm-hmm. but it was awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I'm looking forward to seeing the game next weekend. So we'll see.
Oh, it's okay to like things and you know, to have fun. Just don't play football, kids. Oh, I know. And just perk over in chat. Yeah, I know. Shh, Baltimore. It's too soon. Too soon, Baltimore. Sorry, dudes.
Yeah. Sorry, Baltimore.
But really, the Browns versus the Bills, what a matchup, right? Who would have guessed that would have been it? I mean, it was almost It's the Chiefs versus the Bills.
Yeah.
Which is still, like, you know, if you were looking at sports any time before this year,
I should double check that that's what ended up happening in the game.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
We were listening to the game on the radio.
That's right. We're talking about Baltimore. This is the Baltimore podcast.
I can't believe we're talking about football right now. Anyway, so those were the exciting things in the week. Mm-hmm. I feel like having the house to ourselves.
Yeah.
Bills doing great.
Bills.
unclogging a toilet. Kids doing okay. Tomorrow I'm going to plow the driveway.
Yeah.
With a John Deere tractor.
Yeah.
Rawr. Yeah.
the kids, especially a younger one, like, having a kind of a hard time, but I think it's more just depression.
Malaise.
Yeah, just kind of like the situation is hard for him. He's a highly
social kid, and he is not... He's just not around other kids.
Mm-hmm. That inside him is manifesting itself in not listening or
sometimes
doing things that are not great.
Not all day. But mm-hmm. also it's the age, too, because when his older brother was that age, there was also a lot of pushback. So I just think that, you know, you're just trying to figure out, like, what's my line? How much can I get away with? And, you know, he's younger, so he totally gets away with more. But it's, you know... We are figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no big deal.
All right. Oof. Anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Yes. I want to continue this segment.
Oh, okay.
Talking about other people's shows.
Dun, 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 dun.
So. That's strange. They're like, here we are talking about other people's shows. Listen to us. We've seen it all.
It's Sunday
These
night,
are the
man.
Good ones. Go.
I don't get a theme or anything. Like,
that was your
one?
Theme. What?
What?
Oh, you need a theme? What? All right. So let's pick a theme really quick.
Okay. What's the theme?
All right. So last time we talked about Mabu Mines, Peter and Wendy, and you talked about
hand pantomime.
That's right. So, wow. Those are wildly
show of
different.
Hands. Show of hands. Tim Lagasse. That's what I talked about.
Well, I was going to talk about a slam, like one of my favorite slam pieces.
Okay.
So maybe while I'm talking about that, you'll be inspired to think about. So, all right. So one of my favorite slam pieces, and I've been in many slams. I've sat through many slams. Some slams are great. Mm-hmm. Some slams, you're just happy to be there. A lot of people trying out puppetry for the first time. Sometimes puppet slams are established puppeteers trying something different. And, you know, if you like it, if you don't like it, it's an experience. And it's always, like, usually it's always a fun time. there are occasions where that is not true. We have been a part of those. And I could tell you about that later. So, one of my favorite puppet slam pieces I've ever seen in my entire life. And a puppet slam means like a bunch of short form pieces of puppetry, generally always new works, 5 to 7 minutes, too short to suck. Okay. Dr. Super Helga, whose real name is Marta. Do you remember her last name?
So
Marta, M-A-R-T-E, is an amazing puppet builder and designer. If you just Google Dr. Super Helga being one word, you will see her amazing creations online. She's a fantastic puppeteer and builder and designer. She's great. One time at a puppet playlist, which is the best puppet slam in my opinion, that I've ever seen and been a part of, they do a musical theme. And so that musical theme that night was Dolly Parton. And she's singing... Or wait, maybe it wasn't Dolly Parton. She's singing, I can barely even remember the words. Like, a natural woman. Did you know the song? Like, how
you
can you sing?
Make
yes.
Me feel.
Like a natural woman. Is that Dolly Parton?
I don't think so.
Who is it? Anyway. You all know that. You all know that song. This really intensely ugly puppet, big ugly puppet that's made out of like I feel like the skin was made out of like dirty nylon hose.
That's Aretha Franklin.
Thank you, Aretha Franklin. It was Aretha Franklin. Like, and like these really long limbs, like a three-person puppet is singing this song. And usually in a puppet slam, that's it. That's all you get. It's like you get like, all right, you get this nasty looking puppet. Awesome. Singing the song about wanting to be beautiful. Awesome. That's all it needs to be. But no, there's more, right? Then I believe they're looking at a brochure about getting a plastic surgery. Okay, there's more. Then they're like laying down and getting gassed to have themselves be changed, right? And these doctors who are the puppeteers also are like changing things and like pulling limbs out, pushing things, rearranging things. And while they're doing that, just still singing, you're the, like being gassed and like having like the surgery like live on stage, right? But then things take a turn for weird and dark, and the lights kind of like go out, and there's this red strobing, and she's still singing, but it's like all dark and creepy, and like her legs grow, and like more legs come out, and her eyes light up, and she's become this crazy spider beast, and she eats the doctors, and then she slowly crawls out, this monster, into the audience saying, "More doctors, more doctors." And it's Marta manipulating, and she has this fantastically amazing, believe, German or Austrian accent. So to hear her creepily, you know, with this evil-looking monster puppet looking for more doctors, loud screaming for more doctors, right next to you in the audience. It was one of my most favorite puppet slam memories of all time. So look her up. She's an amazing puppeteer.
Wow.
That really woke me up, getting excited about that.
I feel like I don't have anything that's really, like, coming to me as, like, so specific. But I can think of a puppet playlist one that I really liked. But I don't remember what the song was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember who performed it. It was John Lovin from Sinking Ship Productions. And Puppet Playlist is like a creation of his puppetry company, Sinking Ship Productions. And so Jonathan Levin performed a goldfish puppet that was like swimming in a bowl, mm-hmm. but the goldfish was his hands.
And right, and the bowl was like a 2D cardboard thing.
And it had to do, it was like a twist on a song that you weren't, I think it was Johnny Cash, actually, mm-hmm. now that it's coming back to me a little bit more. But it wasn't about a fish or anything, but then at the end of the song, it was clear that the fish ended up getting flushed or something, I think, or jumping out of the bowl. But it was like, it was a twist on the song, and it was very clever and very well performed. His puppetry was excellent. So I just remember that as I like the simple things the best sometimes. And I remember that one as being very, very sweet and fun and clever and funny. I like funny.
I tried looking
it up. I know. I looked it up for half a second. That doesn't exist.
I do remember that. I remember at one point they shift the perspective of what you're looking at.
It's very well done. It was very well done. I remember that. And like the way that the fish talked too, I feel like it was like his thumbs or something, or maybe it was this, but it was like the lip sync was so good mm-hmm. with his hands. And anyway, John, if you're listening, I'm a fan. He knows I'm a fan. So there you go. There's a puppet show to look out for. You can find it somewhere in the internet.
I think it's out there. A lot of those puppet playlists are on Vimeo.
Because they were, at least.
For a time, they always taped it. They always had a videographer. Mm-hmm. And I taped them back mm-hmm. before I was a puppeteer.
Yeah.
And they used to put them up on Vimeo. So search Vimeo for puppet playlist, and maybe you will find some hidden gems.
I'm pretty sure it was the Johnny Cash night. Uh-huh. I just have this feeling like it was a Johnny Cash song.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's my puppet memory.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, on that note, thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. You can listen to all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts, or download the MP3s directly over at puppetparentpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with that, I'm Chad.
I'm Z.
And tune in next week. It's going to be episode 40. That means 40 Ooh. Plus weeks. We had a couple bye weeks, but 40 episodes of this podcast, see?
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And then we'll hit, doing the math in my head, we will probably hit episode 50 in March.
So, maybe. Mm-hmm. Is that 10 weeks from now? Maybe. Probably. Maybe. Well, we will see. That's exciting.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Take care of yourselves and each other. And also, PSA, if you're feeling like you're having a hard time, make sure you find somebody to talk to. Take care of yourself. Okay?
All right. Bye.
Bye.